Chapter 9. Hard Times. Winter came, and all the London cab horses were very busy. I often heard Jerry coughing as we waited for customers on cold, dark nights. One night, I heard Polly talking to Jerry. "Your cough is getting worse. Please take a day off," she said. "No, Polly," he replied. "I don't want a day off. What would I do? I'm happy with my cab and my horses. I'll be better soon, so don't worry." On New Year's Eve, we took two gentlemen to a party in a grand house. As they climbed out of the cab, one of them turned to Jerry. "Come back at 11 o'clock," he said, "and don't be late." Jerry was never late. At exactly 11 o'clock, we pulled up outside the house to wait for the gentlemen. But they didn't come. It was a very cold night. There was a strong wind, and it began to snow. Jerry put a rug on my back to keep me warm, and then he walked up and down. He stamped his feet and rubbed his hands. He was coughing and coughing. At last, at 1:15, the door of the house opened and the gentlemen came out. They didn't thank Jerry for waiting, and they didn't give him any extra money. When we got home, Jerry was very ill. But he rubbed me down and gave me lots of straw for my bed. He told Polly to bring some hot oats for my supper. In the morning, Harry came to the stables. He often whistled as he worked, but he did not whistle today. He fed me and Captain and changed our straw. And then he went back to the house. In the evening, Dolly came with him. As they brought our hay, I could see that the little girl was very upset.
"Do you think Father will die, Harry?" she cried.
But Harry said nothing. 3 days later, Grant, the old cab driver, came to see Harry.
"How is your father?" he asked.
"He's a little better," Harry replied, "but the doctor says that he mustn't work in the cab anymore. It's not good for him."
The next morning, Dolly came to the stables to speak to her brother.
"Mother's had a letter," she said. "It's from her old mistress, Mrs. Fowler. Mrs. Fowler's coachman is leaving, and she needs a new one. It's the perfect job for Father. We're all going to live in the country, Harry. We're leaving London in the spring."
When I heard this, I felt sad. I was happy that Jerry was better, but I loved my home and my life with Jerry and his family. One spring morning, Polly and the children came to say goodbye to Captain and me.
"Dear Jack," said Dolly, "I'm sorry you can't come with us."
Jerry was still in bed, and I never saw him again. I was sold to a baker, and then to a cab owner called Mr. Skinner. Mr. Skinner was cruel to his cab drivers, and they were cruel to their horses. We worked every day with no rest, and we pulled heavy loads. My driver whipped me all the time. I always tried my best, but my life was so unhappy that I wished I was dead. One day, we picked up a family of four from the train station. I could see that they had a lot of bags and cases. While the father told the driver where to put everything, the mother and the son climbed into the cab. The little girl came round to look at me. She smiled and patted my neck. Then she looked worried.
"Father," she called, "this poor horse is exhausted. He can't pull such a heavy load. Can we take two cabs?"
"It's all right, miss. He's a strong horse," the driver said, as another case was thrown onto the back of the cab.
"But it's cruel. He's so weak and tired," the little girl cried.
"Get into the cab quickly, Grace," shouted her father. "Let the driver do his job."
The driver whipped me very hard. The sharp bit hurt my mouth as we set off. I tried my best, but when we came to a hill, my feet slipped from under me and I fell to the ground. I thought I was going to die. I heard loud voices and crashing sounds as the driver took the cases off the cab. I heard the little girl's voice.
"It's all our fault. The poor, poor horse is hurt."
Someone took off my harness and then poured water over my face. Another person threw a rug over my back. I don't know how long I lay there in the road, but at last someone helped me to stand and then slowly led me to a nearby stable. Later that day, I was taken back to Mr. Skinner's yard. The blacksmith came to look at me, and Mr. Skinner watched him angrily. Then the blacksmith stood up and said,
"This horse is exhausted, Skinner. He's thin and weak and almost dead. You nearly killed him."
Mr. Skinner started to shout.
"I can't keep him then. I don't have the time or the money to look after sick horses."
The blacksmith thought for a moment. He looked at me. Then he said,
"He was a fine horse at one time. He deserves a good home. There's a horse sale in 2 weeks' time. Feed him well and let him rest, and you may get quite a good price."
So Mr. Skinner fed and rested me. When he led me out of his yard for the last time, I felt much better.